Welcome back to episode 10.
Episode 10, man. We about 12 weeks in.
Yeah.
10 episodes. It's been, I would say, a long time coming, but it seems like we just started yesterday,
exactly.
Bro.
Exactly. Episode 10 of Rock the Culture. This is the podcast where we bring perspective and conversation on the culture, on all things Little Rock, all things Central Arkansas. I'm your host, Antoine Phillips. You can find me on Twitter, _ Antoine Phillips, and you already heard him chiming in. It's your boy.
It's your favorite representative. Two take, three terms, always repping. Call me Mr. Leaders if I know you're real. This is, you can find me on Twitter, Charles J. Blake. Yes, the J is for Jamal.
Well, two things for two take, three term Blake. First, I mean, you're always repping, kind of catching on, man. People see you. They always repping.
That's right. I'm always repping. The Rock.
And speaking of repping, big ups to Minority Leader Charles Jamal Blake.
Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you. I like to call it House Democratic Leader.
A House Democratic Leader.
Yeah, top Democrat in the House.
Okay.
I'm going to leave it right there. I ain't going to boast too much. But, man, it's exciting since you mentioned it.
You know what Jay-Z said?
What'd he say?
Man, if you don't boast, you don't brag, then they ain't going to know that you all on a...
That's right. See? That's right. Since you mentioned it, you know, I usually don't try to keep politics out the podcast. But, man, we're excited about what's happening in the House.
Well, for the people, I mean, I know it's a big deal. I know some of our listeners know it's a big deal for you to receive that honor and that recognition. But just kind of explain to the folks who don't know what that means, what that position entails, and why it's important.
So Monday I was elected by my peers to be the top Democrat in the House, which means to lead our House Democratic Caucus.
Right.
And some of the responsibilities we got, especially over the next 6 months, is getting more Democrats in the House elected to serve with us. We are on the front line every day fighting for the people, and people don't know that. So it's my hope and my goal to bring more energy to this role, to have a concise message, to let people know that we are fighting for you every day. If it's fighting to bring more jobs, if it's fighting for equity and equality, you know, that's something that the House Caucus is going to stand for. You're going to hear our message. We are building a blueprint. Shout out, Jay-Z. We're building
So it's going to be three installments of it?
It's going to be three installments. We're going to start with Arkansans first.
Okay.
But yeah, we're building a plan to make sure we're getting more Democrats elected, and we have a priority message going forward in the House that is making sure we are prioritizing Arkansans and their families first.
That's good to hear. So when you listen to Rock the Culture, you're listening to the top Democratic leader in the House. So that's big for you. That's big for our state. That's on a small level, big for the pie. Everybody knew you was the real deal, but now you
now I got that paper behind
you. You got like official.
Mr. Leader.
It's like you graduated. Like, he was smart, but he don't got no diploma. But now you got the paperwork. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Anyway, we always got to give our shouts out. Shout out to Arkansas Times again for the platform. And if you're not a subscriber to Arkansas Times, please support the organization and the independent media.
It's cheap, man. It's great value, great content. Man, subscribe.
And it's going to be a movement this summer to promote the other Rock the Cultures and all the pies on the Arkansas Times platform. So look forward to that. Also, another shout out to our guy, Grammy Q Note on the IGs, Keys to the City TV Films on the YouTube. Y'all can see it on
Mr.
Trap Jazz. You can see us promoting them on our social media feeds. But big ups to him for continuing to produce quality content, not only for the pod, but for the culture. And, you know, I watched the Keys to the City TV Films episode.
Heck of an episode. Three. Heck of an episode, man.
Episode three, kind of just going behind the scenes on the 90s type-ish project.
Man, that cat Philly Moo is talented.
Man,
that's
great.
That cat Philly Moo is talented, man. Those are special things.
Right.
Man.
So I was at a baby shower yesterday, and they asked me to DJ the baby shower. Y'all didn't know I DJ on the side. Y'all didn't even know that.
DJ One Take.
So you know what I started the baby shower off with? That 90s type-ish. And it was just a smooth transition into the baby shower, man. People loved it, was asking about it, so I was streaming, pubbing it on my own time. So shout out to them. Shout out to Keys to the City TV Films. So let's get right into the news, Blake, man. We got three things on the agenda before we get to our guest, Rodney Block of Rodney Block and the Real Music Lovers. And a couple of follow-up stories. because things are happening, man, and we highlight some things.
We're relevant, bro.
And it come to pass. So last week we talked about Friendship Aspire Charter School.
Yep.
Trying to move from
Southwest Little Rock.
Southwest Little Rock, where they were supposed to open in 2019.
Yep.
To move to the Garland building where they were going to open in 2018.
In a few months. They were trying to open up in a few months. Yeah.
To start in August, this upcoming school year. We talked about it last week on the pod. Last Monday, we talked about it. Said that, you know, we had concerns.
Mm-hmm.
We need a plan. Mm-hmm. They're moving too fast. They're not considering all the impact.
Urgency without preparation.
Exactly. And then they withdraw the application.
They sure did. They sent a letter to the State Board of Education, and it basically said that they didn't want to move hastily, that they wanted to prepare more.
What? I read that.
That sounds like somebody heard you say, bro.
I'm like, come on now. Y'all, I guess they listening to Rock the Culture.
They might be listening to Rock the Culture. But yeah, man, I was looking at that article in the Dim Gas, man, and I remember, I think at the bottom of the article it said something about his comment saying, you know, that the students would have to wait another year.
Yeah, now he's trying to play a little victim role, too.
Yeah, trying to play the martyr.
Yeah.
Bro, you was finna ask for a favor. He was asking for a favor. Now, man, that is these people.
Like your plan wasn't even to open in 2018.
No.
So that you can't say that these kids are missing on something that, in theory, we're not even talking about the merits of the school.
No.
Just in theory, that wasn't even going to be offered to them anyway. You tried to jump in line, and now you're going to say, oh, I can't jump in line, so it's hurting the kids. And then, bro, I'm going to read some of the quotes. He says, Donald Hintz, he's the chairman and founder of Friendship Aspire.
Mm-hmm.
Given the burden of evidence required to review
mm-hmm.
and the time that has been lost in this process, we do not believe that it's in the best interest of the children and families of Little Rock to rush our school opening.
So, hold on. So, what I just heard, let me paraphrase what I just heard. He said that because you wanted to review it and look over it, and because the process is taking a little more extra time, that we're going to pull it back now.
Right.
If you're comfortable, with your school, with your charter,
exactly,
with
bro.
The mission moving up, why would you want to be? Because we want to take a second look at it,
right?
Because we want to have a debate on it,
right?
And you like, nah, I'm good.
Because the burden of evidence required to review. He basically said, man, if y'all gonna be looking that close,
then I'm good, bro.
Man, y'all about to be checking the receipts and everything, bro. Then like, we ain't gonna do it right now. That's basically like, bro, we about to play a basketball game. And I was like, bro, you got to spot me 10 points. And I was like, nah, bro, you got to go. I mean, we started 0-0. Well, I ain't playing.
I ain't playing. If you ain't, if I can't get a heads up, if I can't get an advantage, I'm good, bro.
Man, another Jay-Z quote. This is from 444. He said, and this is about reading this, that quote we just read, said, sometimes I'm complete with blank stares, invisible ink I had to read what wasn't there. Invisible ink I had to read what wasn't there. And what I'm reading that's not here
bars.
Is that they didn't want to be involved because they were about to go through a process that they thought they weren't going to have to go through.
Yeah.
They thought they were going to be able to cut any line. They got the thumbs up to approve from the charter panel. They thought the board was going to rubber stamp it.
What it sounded like to me, I'm just speaking on speculation, but what it sounded like is they already had the go-ahead from someone that was a higher up to say, hey, y'all can go ahead and do this. Go ahead. We gonna be
this
fine.
This easy.
For one obstacle, that's not one hurdle.
Right.
One hurdle comes up and you're like, nah, we good. We gonna wait 2019.
Ain't even a hurdle. We just saying, bro, let's look at your
papers.
Let's
evaluate your charter. Let's evaluate your move and let's figure out if this is the best thing for students in Little Rock.
So I inquired Representative Blake. So I wanted to know whether Friendship Aspire was going to go back to their original location in Southwest.
Where in Southwest was it?
I don't think they picked the building.
Okay.
So I wanted to know if they were going to go to their original location in Southwest or continue with this Garland school building. Since they're pulling back, to be clear, Friendship Aspire will not open 2018, 2019. They're going to wait till 2019, 2020. So I wanted to know where they were going to go in 2019. Uh-huh. apparently they're still on the table for the Garland building because that location was listed on their original application.
Well, they're going to have to answer the same questions about transportation and the end related to their charter being for Southwest students.
You would think so. You would think so. What I understand is since they had already been approved to open in 2019-2020, they good for 2019-2020.
Yeah. But so, because their charter was supposed to be for students in Southwest Little Rock,
right?
That I know there were some people on the board that had questions about transportation.
Exactly. So exactly.
Coming back to university, since there is another school opening up down the street on Roosevelt.
Right.
So I would assume, I hate assuming, because you know what they say everywhere about what you assume.
Yeah.
But I would speculate that those questions about transportation would still be there.
Still be there. And shout out to some of our former representatives. I know Senator George Elliott was one of the people who spoke up against this.
Sam Ledbetter.
Congressman Vic Snyder. Mm-hmm. I know the superintendent of Little Rock School District, Michael Poor, made the request mm-hmm. as the superintendent of the traditional district around the charter schools. Under law, he has the right to request a second review of the charter panel's decision. By doing so, essentially, he has allowed his school district to operate as planned, and that the Friendship Aspire will not open until 2019-2020. But I don't know if he was doing it to prevent them. He just said, man, let's look at this.
Let's have a look.
And having a look apparently was good enough for them to say, we out.
Yeah.
So
we out for right now.
We out for right now. So we'll leave it there with that story. Move on to our next story.
But let that be a guiding principle that we go forward on. Can't have urgency without preparation.
Yeah, it's the same. The great point. Before we leave there, that's exactly what we were saying last week, Blake. Education for every child at every grade level is important.
Yes.
We're not, no one.
All children.
No one is arguing with that. But you have to have a plan. You have to be able to be thorough, evaluate the impact, not only of within your particular charter school and how kids are going to get to and fro, how many teachers are going to be there, but how that affects every other school.
Yep. And every other child,
how many teachers they going to have, because we talk about the budget issues.
Exactly.
How they going to get back and forth, because we talk about the busing issue. So if that's the logic today, it needs to be the logic tomorrow, which is we're going to think about things before we put them in action.
Absolutely.
Move on to our next story, Blake. This is one that we talked about the very first episode
I think our very first news story, right?
Exactly.
And I say that because I had a chance as minority leader, I drove to Northwest Arkansas this weekend.
Yep.
And I met all the candidates up in the 3rd Congressional District for House. Strong candidates up there, man. But I had opportunity to go back and binge listen to our pods. You know, I listened to them two or three times before we put them out. But I got a chance to listen to them in order.
Really, I hadn't even did that.
Yeah. So
okay.
Man, we own to something. I think we own to something. I think I text you.
Right.
And it was interesting going back and hearing how the stories we talked about 10, 11 weeks ago are still relevant right now.
Right.
How we were. I want to say on the money, but how we had our finger on the pulse of what needed of the conversations that need to happen. So yeah, that was when I saw this in the news this week, it took me back to listening to episode one. We got jobs too.
And in that episode, the story he's referring to is the ordinance proposed by City Director Irma Hendricks, mm-hmm. who represents Ward 1, and in that ordinance, the plan, her ordinance proposed getting rid of the 3 at-large seats.
Yeah.
And having only 7 district, 7 ward 7 representatives.
Directors, yeah.
Directors.
Yeah.
Getting rid of their at-large. So she put that up for a vote last Tuesday night. I didn't get to attend, but I watched on TV. For y'all who don't know, you can watch on TV. We'll put it on social media so you know how to do that. And the vote failed.
Was it 8-1?
8-1. She didn't even vote for her own.
She didn't. They said she didn't say anything.
Right.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did watch it.
She didn't say anything. I believe she also is gearing up for a lawsuit, which she has mentioned over and over.
Over and over again.
But I was that. I read the Dem Gaz article where Director Compeers did make a valid point. And I want to start there because the point he made is that I'm not saying that delaying it is a valid point, but having a study that is shown to the citizens. Because what we may have, this is what happens when you have study. You have unintended consequences.
Well, let me back up. Let me back up for a second, because I want you to explain that, but I want to make sure everybody understands. So by the vote, if the vote would have passed, if the city board would have approved the vote, then it would have been on a November ballot.
An issue for everybody in the city to vote on.
Everybody in the city to decide whether to have keep those three at large seats.
Keep the three or just have seven.
Because it failed, that is not on the ballot. And now you're talking about the consequences of
it not being on the ballot, of it failing.
Right, yeah. Right.
Now, I'm saying that this is something that we should, again, what we just got through saying, urgency without preparation. That can apply to this as well. Because what if we do have a research and we do have a study, we may end up with 8 wards. We may end up redesigning wards and having the opportunity to have more representation on the board.
Right.
But we don't know that if we don't have a study. So I think it's a valid point to go in and say this is something that we need to be prepared with, that the citizens need to know exactly what we're going to do before you vote. And I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with holding it back and having 8 members on the board saying we don't want to send this to the citizens to vote for.
Right.
But I am okay saying let's figure out what this looks like. If we do need to get rid of the 3 at large, what does that look like for our city? Our population has grown since 2000 when we did this. That's almost 20 years ago.
Right.
So that's a valid point.
And not only has it grown, but shifted
in different areas of the city.
So you probably do need to redraw those lines. One thing that's a valid point that you made, and I wish Director Hendricks would have asked for a roll call vote. Even though it was 8-1 and she didn't vote, and everyone know what Director Richardson said afterwards, because that's listed in the article, and he was very expressive. But I would have liked for a roll call vote, and I wanted to hear some of the directors explain
why they voted
the way you did. Director Computers did it, because he explained that proposal you mentioned. But I wanted to hear from some of the other people on why they thought that this is not a good thing right now. And it may be exactly for the reason you're saying. That we need to understand what we're doing before we just go say, all right, let's get rid of 3 and keep 7.
I do believe it should go to the people, and it should go to people as soon as possible. We will have a new mayor. We got a lot of board seats up for election coming up in November now.
Right.
But I think there is an opportunity. I know in the Dem Guys article it said that there's been 2 studies done in the last, 30 years?
Yeah. First one was in 93.
And that one added the at-large seats, right?
Correct.
And in 2000, we gave more power to the mayor.
No, 2000, they made the proposal to make it a strong mayor and get the mayor veto power. We didn't vote on that to 07,
okay.
Right after Stola was elected.
Yeah. So there's a valid point there. We don't want to rush. We don't want to have urgency and not know what the unintended consequences are.
Right, right. So this is, again, Rock the Culture. We're trying to keep everyone informed of what's going on. And so that will not be on the ballot in November. But this is an issue, like you said, we're on the pulse of this issue. This issue is not going away.
Oh, no.
There were some people who spoke at the city board meeting that talked about not only changing the ward demographics, but also changing the form of government. So the structure of the government in the city
is the mayor, city manager form.
Form of government, yeah. Exactly. The structure of government in the city is on the table right now.
Yeah.
And I think at some point soon we will see some changes being made.
I agree with you. Now there were some people before we move on, there's some people that made some statements about how Director Adcock, I think that's funny. How Director Adcock had some people come up and say what she's done. Have her run for a city ward position then. If she's valuable in the part of the city that she represents, then have her run for Ward 2 or wherever she lives at.
So what you're saying is just because an at-large director is impactful positively,
yes,
that doesn't mean that they can't be that same impact as a ward representative.
Just because she's impactful with what she does for her citizens doesn't mean that the former government is valid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Great point. Last thing before we get to our special guest, man, I saw this story and I was just thinking, man, this is such an inspiring story. We was talking off air with Q and thinking about what were you doing at 8 years old? We know what you was doing. You was wearing those Charles Barkley jerseys.
Charles Barkley running around with Q in College Station.
Hey, you know what? I didn't even realize this. We were making fun of you last week. but your name is Charles.
Yeah, so you didn't realize that?
I didn't even pick that up, bro. I'm so
that
slow.
Was that was the easy. That was the correlation right there.
Chuck Blake.
Chuck. Sir Chuck.
I don't know how I missed that. I was thinking about it last week. I was like, oh, he Chuck. He Chuck Blake.
I did go search for a Barkley jersey, too. I do want to say that.
Did you? Is it coming? Right. You got Amazon coming?
I haven't ordered it yet. Okay. I'm still debating.
Anyway, so when we were 8 years old, we were not 8 years old. We were not doing what my guy.
Q was selling candy, though.
He was?
Yeah, Q was.
He had the freeze pops, freeze cups.
Man, he was going to Sam's. I knew what he was doing. He was going to Sam's, getting that big box of candy for like $5, and then selling like all the candy for $1. So he was getting like a 300, 400% markup. Man, dude was hitting us up, bro.
He was hitting you up till you hustling. Didn't even get the hookup then?
No, I was stealing it from him. What you gonna do about it, Q?
But let's shout out to my guy, Colin Robertson, who started his own business at 8 years old, mm-hmm. come from an unfortunate situation. His dad was Lauren Robertson, was murdered last July. And he
I want to say in his own driveway, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Sitting in the car.
I remember that story, yeah.
Sitting in the car. Someone came up and shot him. The case is still unresolved mm-hmm. as of today. So to honor his dad in preparation for Father's Day, this 8-year-old, Kalen Robertson, started his own bow tie company.
Swag Sauce is what
Swag Sauce is what he calls it.
Yeah.
I want y'all to go check it out. It's Swag Kai Bow Ties. You can find him on Instagram. He's on Facebook. He has a website. You can order. It's secure. 8 years old, starting your own business, not only to honor your dad, but how much initiative and how much smarts and drive you have
hustle.
To have.
How hustle. Much hustle, yeah.
I mean, if that's not a hustle, then what you call that?
Oh, man.
So I want to shout out. I just wanted to share that with the people. It's a great story. We'll pub it on our social media. But if you're a bow tie guy.
Twan, you're a bow tie guy.
I am a bow tie guy. I'm going to rock a couple of them.
I'm going to buy a couple of them. What did he say something for? $5?
He got something for $10, something for $15.
Five, $10, $15.
So if you know people who like bow ties, you know people who like fancy socks, support this 8-year-old who started his own business and honor his father who was murdered here in Little Rock.
Absolutely.
Named Swag Kai Bow Ties. Shout out to you, Colin. Man, that's what you're doing is awesome, man. We're supporting you.
Keep rocking the culture, man. Man, keep rocking the culture.
You talking about rocking the culture.
Oh, yeah.
Rocking the culture at age 8 is amazing. So we'll leave it there with the rundown for our news and transition to our special guest. Man, if you don't know this man, that means you don't leave the house. That's how I think about it. You must just be sitting at the house not paying attention if you don't know our special guest today. Today we got with us Rodney Block.
Hey.
Say what's up to the people riding the block.
It's going great. Excuse me, going great. Glad to be here. Thank you for the invite.
No, thank you for being here, man. So, you know, what we do in Rock the Culture, we talk about everything related to the culture. So it's politics, it's lifestyle, it's entertainment, it's live music. And when you think live music in Arkansas, I mean, you think of my boys Q Note and Philly Moo. And you also think of Rodney Block and the music lovers. So I wanted people to kind of know you a little bit. I want to know you a little bit.
Oh, well, I'm just like your ordinary guy, country boy from South Arkansas, Dumas, Arkansas. And, you know, growing up, we didn't have a lot of options for, you know, spending our time outside of the home. But my parents always encouraged us to play music. My mom wouldn't let me play sports because I think she thought I was going to get hurt on the football field. So she was probably right. But myself, my brothers, my sisters, we all played music. And it just kind of morphed into a cool thing. It was something I enjoyed doing. I did the whole thing, high school band, junior high band, jazz band. I went to band camp every year.
Every year you had band camp?
Every year I went to band camp.
Bruh, I went to orchestra camp 2 or 3 times, so I feel your pain. All
right, so, I mean, you talking about this is cultured right here, because I don't know nothing about no band camp.
Oh, man, band camp was back in the 80s and 90s. That was like the social thing to do if you were in music, and especially, you know, being a young man, that was one sure way to meet some ladies, meet some girls. So go to the
for a whole week. They couldn't go nowhere. You know exactly where they were.
So they would have the dances and whatnot. So it was cool, but I enjoyed playing the trumpet, and then that just kind of continued. Got a scholarship to go to college in South Arkansas, UA Monticello. And
boll weaver. I know you're a boll weaver.
Yeah, man, I'm a boll weaver. I'm a proud boll weaver. So so it was a good thing. And paid for college, and been able just to kind of use music, you know, has been very significant and profound, and just seeing how it can kind of change lives or change people's mood when you're doing it. So
you say the trumpet. What else is in the Rodney Block musical repertoire?
Well, trumpet is my main thing, but I play a little drums, and I can play tuba and trombone. So all the brass instruments,
right,
I can play. So, but trumpet is my main thing. So that's what I do here. I've been fortunate enough to come back to the state about 15 years ago after being away and putting a couple of groups together. The first group, Rodney Block and the Real Music Lovers, kind of came on the scene around 2007. And we were together for a good while. And then almost 3 years ago, I had a change in personnel, and now it's the Rodney Block Collective. But all the musicians that I've ever worked with have been great. We've had some great times, and it's great just to kind of get together and create music and play music.
So when you came back, when did you know that, you know, this music thing is my thing? I'm building something. People are enjoying it. When did that moment happen for you?
Well, I would say in 2007, because I moved back to Arkansas in 2002. But I played. I would go to the jam sessions. I would just kind of meet people. But I guess around 2007, you kind of get a core group of guys together.
Right.
You're kind of all around the same level, and you all have that same interest. And I think during that time, we just started playing, and people were kind of enjoying it. And then, you know, we started doing more, and then folks say, hey, can you play a wedding, or can you do this, or can you do this type of gig? And it was so varied. We were doing the straight-ahead jazz stuff, but people want to know, hey, can you come across town and play in the club and do a hip-hop show? Yeah, we can do that too.
Right.
So they said, well, can you play a corporate gig? Yeah, we can do that too. So I think we've kind of built a niche in being able to do a lot of different genres, but at the same time, still being true to ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, when you come to a Rodney Block show, you kind of know what you're going to get, and at the same time, trying to stay fresh, trying to stay innovative, trying to do something that's a little bit different each time. So when the listener goes home or the client goes home, they can say, you know what? I had a good time. He had a rapper on stage this time.
Right.
Man, they had a violin player on stage this time. Man, they had Q-Note on the keys this time. You know? So it's been real cool. And, it always goes back to the music. And if the music is good, you know, those opportunities are always going to be there, is what I've learned.
So you come back here in 2002. You kind of feel it taking off 2007. Mm-hmm. Now your name is synonymous in Little Rock with live music. When you think of the live music scene in Little Rock as a musician, mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing for me and Blake to talk about mm-hmm. it, because mm-hmm. we're going in, we're the consumer. But mm-hmm. as the product, as the talent, mm-hmm. well, what do... Yeah, you have a different perspective on what the scene is. So it's kind of explain to us, when you think about live music in Little Rock, what comes to mind, what it is, and what is it missing?
You know, I will say this. When I first, I guess, started on the scene and started playing more frequently, I would say that, you know, people didn't necessarily, you know, the consumer, the listener, didn't necessarily put the value on what it takes to play music, your musicianship, the time it takes in rehearsals, the time it takes to... All the preparation that goes into this 2 to 4 hour event that you're going to present, you know. And I think people didn't realize there's a value to that. And I think that's changed over the last few years,
okay.
Which is great that people, you can say, okay, I want a live band, you know. Okay, this is what it's going to cost, and people... don't like, well, you're just the band. People understand that you bring value to their event.
Right.
You bring a unique experience, whether that's Rodney Block, whether that's Philly Moo and Q-Note, whether that's Nikki Parrish, whether that's Tawanda Campbell, everyone brings something special to that event. I would say in the time, you know, in that last 10 years, I think there's more collaborative spirit between musicians and artists now that didn't really exist, you know, 10 years ago.
And that's why you said that's why you can have a show where you could have Q-Note on the keys or have Nikki Parrish come sing. And
exactly. You know, I think that just kind of makes the scene as musicians and because we're like a family. People, you know, people know other. I know pretty much all the musicians in town, except for the new ones that are kind of coming on.
Yeah.
But we know each other. But I think there's an atmosphere of collaboration. Like if you come to my show, you don't know who you're going to see, but you may see anybody.
Right.
You know, and I work with country and Western artists all the time. I like the music. I'm on some of their albums. They'll come to my show. You know, so I think there's a more of a collaborative spirit that didn't exist. I think there's people see the value that didn't exist. And I think that's really good for our city.
So going forward, I mean, when we think about the culture, part of it, like we said on our first episode, we got jobs too, is that we, people who look like us, they want to be able to go out and have a good time too.
Exactly.
So having people like you and other live musicians perform is important. Are we on the path where Little Rock is becoming a live music scene, or is there something that we need to do as a city to be even more supportive of the musicians and the music?
I think the number one thing, and this it was a problem back then, I thought it was an issue then, I think it still exists, but we just need more venues.
Okay.
You know, there doesn't need to be just like one or two venues that every, you know, that you see us play in. We need to be, if you're a spoken word artist, there needs to be a venue that you can go to.
Right.
Or if it's straight ahead jazz, if it's music, if it's dance, I think there needs to be a venue where you compensate the artist. The value is there. You see the value. Because I tell you, if you own a business and me being a poet and you have me in your business and people know me and I have a network, you're going to get 50 to 100 people that are going to come to your business because of what I provide,
right,
or what this artist provides. So I think we just need more of those opportunities for artists.
And a great one, and I hadn't shared this with anyone, I was talking to my in-laws, and we was talking about the Repertory Theater, and obviously what's going on with it. It closed down. They're raising money. Obviously, they do theater productions. But why not use that facility to do live shows where it's almost like a house of blues?
I agree.
Where it's way more intimate. There's nice seatings. Mm-hmm. Acoustics are great.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm throwing out the idea right now.
Bro, that's a good idea. Usually you don't have good ideas. But I gotta say, that's a good idea right there, Troy.
That just makes sense. I mean, they're not making money.
Yeah.
And that's why they had these problems. But you allow live music, poetry to go use that venue. It's already set up. Oh,
yeah.
It's there.
Yeah, it's there. It's great. I mean, I've been to several productions there, and it's twofold because it helps the theater,
right?
It helps the community of artists, and it helps that downtown corridor,
right? That Main Street
that we're trying to bring more and more people to. You know, with all the restaurants that are.
Man, we might have just started something right here on this pie, Rodney.
I think it's great.
Okay.
For the culture.
Man, we appreciate you being on the show.
Hey,
so
I appreciate you.
I know it might have been a year or two ago you came out with your own album, right?
Yeah. You know, it seems like I put out an album every year for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. So what's next for Rodney Block? What can we look for?
Well, I'm going to do a live album. I'm going to do a live recording at one of our shows. We'll have some original tunes that we do during the course of the show, and that's ultimately going to go on the album. But I just want to do something different, do a live album to capture that energy from the people in the room. Because I tell people the live shows is what you need to come to.
Right.
The essence.
Yeah. I mean, because it's a feeling. If you're not there, it's kind of almost hard to explain, you know.
So we can come to a live show, me and Blake can be in the crowd, and we can be like, Rock the Culture, and then we're going to be on the album.
On exactly. the album.
On the album.
Product placement.
That's exactly what we're going to
do. So, Roddy, we coming to every show you got for the next year. We're just going to yell out in the middle of the show, Rock the Culture.
hey, you know, you come to the show, we'll shout out Rock the Culture. For sure. So, I would like to say thank you to the both of you and for supporting the live music,
absolutely,
in the scenes. It's kind of, you know, you can talk about something, but if you don't support it or participate it, you know, is it really valid?
Right.
But you guys support the music. You're at the shows, not just mine, but other folks that have things that are going on. So we appreciate that very much. And I want to say to the listeners that I really do appreciate the support of Rodney Block, the Rodney Block Collective. If you bought an album, if you've hired us for a gig, if I played your mama's anniversary, you know. So, I mean, it means a lot. And Little Rock has been very, very good to me. So I don't take it for granted. So I appreciate all the support, and I appreciate the time to be here today to share.
Man, we appreciate you for rocking the culture with us today. And when you work, when you're working, your job is to rock the culture. Yes. So we appreciate that. People want to follow you on Facebook or Twitter. Shout yourself out so people can know when the next show is coming up.
Yeah, Facebook, Rodney Block, Twitter at Mo Better Block, Instagram at Mo Better Block. And I always try to post on Facebook when I have stuff going on during the week so you know what's happening. And you can always inbox me. I'm the easiest guy to get in contact with. I get messages every week. Hey, are you playing anywhere this week? And I will always respond. But Facebook, Rodney Block, Twitter at Mo Better Block, Instagram at Mo Better Block. So, and you can email me at rodneyblockmusic@gmail.com.
Man, well, I appreciate you. Again, appreciate you for rocking the culture. I appreciate y'all rocking the culture with us. This was episode 10.
Wow.
Next week, we're going to do episode 11 and wrap up season one. So we'll be back next week. You can always find me on Twitter. _AntoinePhillips.
And you can find your favorite representative always repping on Twitter at Charles J. Blake. Yes, the J is for Jamal.
And check us out on Rock the Culture Twitter, Rock the Culture IG, and Rock the Culture Facebook for all the updates, all things Little Rock, all things Central Arkansas, all things the culture. We'll be back next week. Thank you.